previously on Corporate Homie.
We are so excited to have not only an amazing mental health resource, but also a friend of mine, Deetra Martin, on the podcast with us this morning.
My parents support my career, but they ain't going to a therapist. That's not their ministry. Black people were trained years ago to repress, suppress, and keep it moving.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
we thought it would be great to have two physicians of color to come on and talk with us about Black representation in the medical field, why Black people don't trust the medical field.
Well, hello, my name is Monique Casey Bolden. I go by Dr. Casey, and I am a family physician, woman of color in rural Tennessee.
I am board certified in pediatric rehabilitation medicine, meaning I take care of children with acquired and congenital physical disabilities.
What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo, woo, woo.
Okay. In unison, look at that. Look at Jesus.
I'm going to let you whoop a little bit. Well, hope all the homies had a great holiday season in whatever way you celebrate. So we hope it's now the end of December and a lot of happy of 2020. I heard somebody say if 2020 was a food, what would it be? And somebody said liver and onions food truck. I thought that was hilarious. No disrespect to the homies that like liver and onions, but I thought that was hilarious. But so the vaccine has come out. And so we thought it would be great to have two physicians of color to come on and talk with us. So they actually took the vaccine. They're Black doctors. And we thought it'd be great to have a dialogue with them and the homies to talk a little bit about all those things, Black representation in the medical field, why Black people don't trust the medical field, and why they each chose to take the vaccine themselves. So we're excited
about this.
Not just
Black people, but just people of color in general.
Yeah, so we're really excited about this dialogue.
And we're really excited because Dr. Casey and Dr. Sholas are their friends, their family, their physicians, as Bimitra says, but we do want everyone to understand that this is just their personal opinions. This is not any type of medical advice on
you. We're not passing out virtual prescriptions.
This is not a telehealth appointment. And so you should keep that in mind when you're listening. But we did think, and frankly, they are two physicians that we rely on personally many times to walk through medical things that are happening in our families, in our personal lives that we'll discuss with them because of those three things. So Dr. Casey, we'll start with you and ask you to give us a little bit about your background. Just introduce yourself and kind of real quickly tell the homies who you are.
Well, hello, my name is Monique Casey Bolden. I go by Dr. Casey, and I am a family physician, woman of color in rural Tennessee. Yes, I did say rural Tennessee. I serve an underprivileged area where we have very poor people, just like in the inner city. I'm a native of Memphis. I went to undergraduate school at M-Town. I went to Austin Peay State University in Clarksville, Tennessee, and then over to East Tennessee State University for medical school. I completed residency at University of Tennessee, Memphis, in family practice, was the chief resident, then up to Dyersburg, Tennessee, where I now own my own practice. The name of it is Grace Family Practice because we exist by the grace of the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Hype with that.
Yes, Jesus. Yes.
Yeah. So I've been married for 22 years, three children. Yeah. A 19-year-old. Yeah. And a set of twins that are 16. All kids are driving, all are boys. Thank God for that.
Also, Dr. Casey gave Dimitra and I one of the greatest gifts of all time, and she taught us the gangster walk.
Yes. Yes.
That's a different episode.
All right. And then we also have with us this evening, Dr. Maurice Sholas. Dr. Sholas is a very good friend, like Dr. Casey. So Dr. Sholas, please tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. So happy to be here. I am a South Louisiana man based in New Orleans, the Republic of New Orleans, northernmost Caribbean island attached to the United States. I am board certified in pediatric rehabilitation medicine, meaning I take care of children with acquired and congenital physical disabilities. So my job clinically is to make kids that aren't quite perfect in how they're growing and developing as functional as possible. And I also help give voice to people that are marginalized. Other than clinical work, I own my own business called Sholas Medical Consulting, and I do medical operations consulting. And in plain speak, that means the same way I help my kids with disabilities be more functional, I help healthcare systems, hospitals, and individual practitioners be more functional as a business. So when you go from saying, I want to make that, to actually making it, I'm the kind of person you bring in to help you make it so. So those two things come together to help me proudly give voice to the voiceless, to help me marginalized communities, and help me not be the only and the first in the room, but the first of many. So I'm really excited about the prospects of me being a rare bird to start, but a common flock when I get done with all of this.
Dr. Sholas, where did you go to school?
Oh, I forgot. I'm on here with the flex and stretch episode. So HBCU in the house, first of all. I'm a proud graduate of Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Full swag, everything, all day, every day. Human Jukebox, best band, not just in Jaguar Land, the whole world.
You opened the door.
You asked for this.
You opened this door.
Now, after I left the HBCU experience, I'm an Ivy graduate. I got my MD and PhD from Harvard Medical School. Y'all might have heard of it, a little dot up there in Boston.
Yeah.
Heard of it.
The med school is in Boston, across the river. You know, okay. We leave them undergrads over there in Cambridge.
Okay, understood. Get us straight. Get the homie straight, doctor.
Well, let me just say in advance, thank you guys so much for doing this. We're really excited about this.
So one of the reasons why we wanted to have the episode is so many of the homies, and I'm sure this is not going to surprise you, are like, are you going to take this vaccine? Are you taking the vaccine? When are you going to take the vaccine? Do you know anybody who's taking the vaccine?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you know how
when we
in our community.
We're including ourselves.
Right. I was about to say, including the two homies on the phone. And so the first question I just want to ask you before we get into anything else is, did you take the vaccine?
And which one did you take?
Yes, I'll go first. Okay. I did take the vaccine. I took it on December 19th. I took the Pfizer vaccine. 6 o'clock in the morning, I was one of the first people in the city to get the vaccine. I also got my husband vaccinated at the same time.
So if you're a medical professional, your spouse can get vaccinated too?
No, ma'am. He was on the B list. So that means that they can't waste a vaccine. So if somebody doesn't show up, then they have this B list of people that you have to.
I need to get on the B list.
Yes. So
you're going to have to move to rural Tennessee.
Yeah. When I figured out that he could be on the B list and he was a teacher, I put him on the B list. Someone pulled out of the 6 a.m. group. So they quickly called me and say, hey, bring your husband with you.
Awesome.
And that's how he got vaccinated at the same time. But we got vaccinated. We felt fine. We had no reactions. Like a flu shot, you know, how your arm's just a little sore afterwards. That's about all that happened. Now, don't get it twisted. I thought about it. And I said, yeah, I'm not going to die because of COVID. I'm more scared of a ventilator than a reaction. Okay. So I pre-medicated with Benadryl and Tylenol, just like we do with people with blood transfusions. And I pre-medicated my husband as well. And I took my vaccine. I wasn't playing with them. I was like, I went to work after I got the vaccine on a Saturday. So,
Dr. Sholas, did you take the vaccine?
I did. I got my vaccine a little after her on December 15th at 5:30 in the morning. And you might say to yourself, why is everybody going early?
Why is everybody getting vaccinated at dark 30?
When those people told me that's the time I was going to take it, I said, I will be there. Thanks. There was no back and forth. Could you give me a better time? How does noon sound? My sister was like, oh, why are you going to go that early? I said, because that's when them people told me to come. And I said, 5:30 it is. I can get there at 5:30. And I went.
Was it also the Pfizer one?
Yep, I got. But at that time, it was only that was the only one available. Remember,
The Moderna product. And it's the Pfizer, the two
it's two shots. Okay. So so both of us are waiting on our second shot because they have to be separated by 3 weeks. Now we're gonna talk about that and the biochemistry of that. But I did not premedicate. I didn't do anything. The shot was painless going in. Like literally, I didn't feel
anything.
It's
not anything. Cold because they've been talking about how you sit at this very cold temperature.
This is like food, okay? You store the food in the refrigerator, but that's not how you eat it.
Okay? That's so funny because you're not. Like,
that's wonderful.
Is it gonna feel cold in my veins?
No,
girl.
That's not how you eat it.
So it sounds like for both of you guys, it was not a hard decision about whether or not you would take the vaccine.
No.
Okay.
No.
Do you understand why it's a hard decision for
the rest of the ridiculous
people are that are not medical professions are especially in communities of color who've had, you know, I just think Henrietta Lacks, and I think, well, I mean, we can't always trust people trying to come in to help us with medical things. Is that something that you think about, that you think is rational? Do you think it's irrational? You know, tell us your thoughts around that.
People are entitled to their thoughts and feelings. And I really, really like Dr. Kamara Jones' thoughts on this. She said it is not for us to convince anybody of anything. It is for us to provide our experiences and our information, let people ask questions and engage, and let them come to the decision they're comfortable with. It's sort of like if you try to date somebody, if you beat them out, even if they was going to say yes to going out with you, they're going to feel like, why are they stress me like this? And you're just going to get put on time out. And I think that's where I'm coming from with this. Nobody has to just sort of magically go along with it. I respect people enough to have a discussion about it. And you know, if that means some people need to understand the science, we can talk science. Some people want to understand the supply chain to make sure they get the real thing. We can talk supply chain. Some people want to understand the risks and benefits. We can talk risks and benefits. And some people just want to see somebody they trust do it first. We did it first. And so it's going to take all those different kind of ways. What do you think, Dr. Casey?
I totally agree with you. A lot of my patients were like, are you really going to take the vaccine? And I said, honey, I am a Black woman with high blood pressure. I'm a little overweight, and I have seen those women die. So yes, if my choice is getting COVID, maybe on a ventilator and death versus getting a vaccine, I'm going to get the vaccine. So I also did something that, you know, you all may not know about. I actually checked my antibody status. I mean, I work in rural primary care. So people lie and come into my office sick with COVID and I promptly send them out. Okay. So,
They don't just do that in rural areas, Dr. Casey. That's
not everywhere, though.
I mean, they come all up in there lying, coughing, and breathing all on me, even though they have to wear a mask. But I'm like, I get exposed every day. This is every day. I get exposed. So when you thinking about the fact that you get exposed every day, I don't get sick very often. My immunity is actually pretty good, but I had no immunity to COVID, which meant that I was exposed day after day from March until I drew my antibodies in early December and I had none. So that was a little on the disturbing side. Sure. Not to mention, you only have to see two Black 40-ish year old women who are still having complications from June.
I was going to talk about that before we move on. Even my personal hesitation.
Yeah.
We had an uncle pass of COVID. We have another uncle that-
Three weeks from diagnosis. Too.
3 weeks from diagnosis who passed. We have another uncle who was admitted to the hospital today. My dad's wife's sister is in the hospital with COVID.
Wow.
And I just feel like in the last month, really, all of my anxiety about the vaccine, I knew a lot of people who had it before, but they had it, you know, they was on Facebook 2 weeks later, going on a trip, you know what I mean? Telling people to take it seriously. In the last month, we've lost a family member, have two other family members in the hospital. I feel like that's even changing my personal, I don't be making sure how you feel, but that's changing my personal, even with the Henrietta Lex Tuskegee. Like, we know people who are actually passing away. And frankly, I don't personally know anyone that's white who's passed away. Everyone I personally know, right? So that doesn't mean that white people are not dying. And that's not what I'm saying. 300,000, over 300,000 people have died. Certainly some of them were white. I'm saying in my personal experience, I've known lots of white people to get it. Lots mm-hmm. of people in my job have had it. They whole households, even right. their 87-year-old mothers and grandmothers, but they've survived.
They seem to recover from it. Yeah.
And so that's made me really disturbed.
So what you all are talking about, Demetra, is sort of like healthcare disparities. And that's mm-hmm. the basis of what we're talking about. So why is it two people can get the same disease and have a different outcome? Some of it might be genetics, right? But there's nothing genetically different between Black people and white people to explain right. this. That's not how that goes. That's not right. how we're put together as people. What we're finding is that Black people that come down with COVID are more exposed to bigger doses, meaning only about 1 in 5 Black people can actually telework, if you think about right. this, okay? That right. means 4 in 5 people to make a living have to go out there in the mix.
And that's Latino people okay? too. They're out and there.
Latino, yes. And Latino is mm-hmm. 1 in 6. Absolutely. It's 1 in 6.
Latino is what?
1 in 6.
1 in 6.
That can okay. telework. So you have overwhelming numbers of Black and Brown people that cannot.
So just the risk of them getting out there is higher.
They're out there.
It's high.
Secondly, Black and Brown people are less likely to live physically near a tertiary care center, meaning correct. The places that have all the fancy treatments that this, that, and the other that can bring you back from the brink, they are the furthest away from those. Mm. And they're the least likely to be able to get there in terms of access. So what happens is when Black people and Brown people get COVID, when they finally present and get diagnosed, they're more advanced in their disease process.
Dr. Scholes, you make a really great point. You talk about the healthcare disparities, and even Dr. Casey was able to help me personally where I was talking with my physician, it's like maybe 10 years ago, and just wasn't getting what I needed. And I'll never forget mm-hmm. what she said to me. She said, B, you know your body better than your doctor does, and you need to advocate for yourself. And if you need to change doctors, you need to change doctors. And then I did, and then turns out I needed to have surgery, right? And that they had just missed the whole thing, right? So can you guys talk a little bit about why having Black doctors is like important? Because this isn't just with COVID where they don't listen to our Black and Brown people's pain level. They think we have a higher pain tolerance. So, even I just saw on the news where some physician didn't get the care Black female physician didn't get the care she needed. And she was a doctor. So can you guys talk a little bit about why having Black doctors is so important in our community?
And Latino doctors, Black doctors, yeah.
Well, having doctors of color goes back to some of the cultural differences. Like I was just having this discussion. There are many cultural subsets in America. In Memphis, we eat fish and spaghetti. Somebody in North Carolina said, what? And I was right. like, we're made up of subsets of cultures. Well, that also happens when you're talking about communities of color. And so if you have someone who is not from that community, from that culture, sometimes they don't understand cultural norms. And so there's a mistrust that comes about, and they don't understand each other, and there's no communication between the two. I have Latino patients who love me, and I tell them things like, hey, teach me how to say that in Spanish, you know, because I want to learn. And so we have to understand each other and get to a point where we can understand what they need from us.
Yeah.
And so,
because I remember my doc always hearing like certain things run in our, you know, in Black communities, sort of to Dr. Scholes' point, right? And
yeah.
then I have a Black primary care physician, and she has a sign in her office that said, it may not run in your family. It may be that no one in your family runs.
Yes. Yes.
Right. It may just be that everyone eats yes. poorly. Everyone's yes. overweight. And that's why everyone has hypertension or everyone has diabetes, but it may not actually be mm-hmm. genetic.
Right.
I also want to be really careful about sort of fat shaming and behavior yes. shaming Black people, because this is not all Black people are dying for COVID because we fat diabetic and don't care about it. That's not what this
is. Latino people, because they say the same thing. Y'all eat so many tortillas and cheese and
that's not what this is at all. You know, I also think it's important to have diversity within the medical field, because it's important that the patients catch what we're throwing. Like, I'm a New Orleanian. When we talk about a second line, I know exactly what that means. But if you're not a New Orleanian, you have no idea a second line is a spontaneous parade that's led by a brass band that people just join in and dance along with and go along to.
And everyone can get in.
And you can get in. You can do it for weddings. You do them for funerals. You do them for anything. Any point of celebration, you have a second line. But you see how I had to translate that term?
Correct.
Into language people can touch. That's the same way you have to translate these terms about vaccines, about preventive care, into language that people can touch. And it's not that other non-New Orleanians can't explain a second line, but non-New Orleanians have to know what people are coming from when they're talking about that.
That's correct.
So you mentioned something, Dr. Casey, about A-list and B-list. That's the first time I've heard that. I think it was the first time Demetra had heard
that. Yes, and I think Torque should be on one of these lists. He's essential, but he's not a frontline worker, but he is in transportation. So
well,
I'm like,
Abeba as well, you know, she's an educator. So does every city have these A and B lists?
Not necessarily. So, you know, we talk about the first people who were getting the vaccine. So I'm in a rural community. So first of all, with the Pfizer vaccine, you know, it had to be minus 75 degrees stored. Yeah. And so that was a big issue coming into a county of 35,000. So the hospital is the only place that got the big freezer like that. And even we're a branch of another hospital that's 45 minutes away. So they had to physically drive it to us. We had a time window, and then
somebody didn't show up, somebody else could get it because it could
You can't save anything.
And so they made a list of people to get it, plus a list of people who could be there within 30 minutes to get it. Because they were told, literally, if somebody doesn't show up, go outside, stop a car, go down the hallway and give it to anybody who will. It cannot go to waste. We only have so many doses. And so I think that that's very important. And some of the smaller communities, you will see that. But when you're in large communities such as Tampa and Houston,
how are they?
It wasn't like that at all for us. Like, you know, I got my vaccination at Oxford Medical Center, you know, which is one of the biggest healthcare systems we have in the state. You know, if we just deal with frontline healthcare workers, cleaning staff, nursing staff, patient access people,
the people that are really on the board of the hospital.
In the hospital, we have endless numbers of folks, so there was no B list for us. It was just you had to show up for your appointment and get in and make it work. The other thing I think that's important that people need to sort of think through, because I heard this from somebody and it didn't hit me, is one of my good friends said to me, "Well, Maurice, I don't really trust the fact that you got the vaccine as much, because you have to get that vaccine to keep your job. It's like the flu shot." You know, you can't just walk around there with all them people that are sick and get stuff and give it to them. So I want to see somebody that doesn't have to get this vaccine to keep their employment. And I don't know that I heard that kind of pushback before. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, it is problematic for me that Black and brown people are dying at rates in way excess of white and Asian people from this disease process, but are not going to be part of the solution. We cannot be overrepresented in the deaths, misery, and tragedy, and underrepresented in that bright, shining star of the future. So that's when I talk to people about why this is possible. We can talk about what mRNA vaccines are and how that technology has existed for over 30 years. So this
absolutely
from a technology this ain't new. Standpoint.
Yeah, we already knew about this. Yeah, so I learned it in medical school.
So what percentage, if there is one, of like a community, do we need to be trying to get, when I say we,
I know what you're asking, and that's controversial right now.
What are you asking?
So what she's asking is that what percentage of a population has to be vaccinated or immune
for that
group of people?
We get that herd immunity.
So for measles, 95% of a population has to be vaccinated or protected to keep that because measles is highly contagious,
which
right. is absolutely.
Why you have 90% of your population vaccinated against measles and still have outbreaks. Whereas correct. For polio, it's 80% of the population that has to be protected for 20. They don't have that data for COVID yet. Okay, mm-hmm. They had some data they thought it was going to be that dropped in publication in November, but they've since withdrawn that because they're not sure. Because what you don't want to do is tell people, if you get 85% of people vaccinated, it's going to be good. We get 85% of people vaccinated, it's not good. 90. And yes. Now everybody's like, nobody knows nothing. You know how nobody knows nothing.
Absolutely.
All the hotel people are already posting, you know, every article that went wrong in Australia, the people that somebody lost.
But they only half understand what wrong, Demetria. That's what's crazy to me.
Right. Somebody told me something the other day about New York Times posted something about somebody's teeth falling out or something with the vaccine. And I was like, this stuff.
Well, also, I mean, I feel like the people that post that, they post all of the conspiracy theories about everything in life. I mean, that's what the hotel people do.
Well, I've been telling my patients, I was like, so let me get this straight. You are doing research from journalists and bloggers on medical stuff. Do you go to your lawyer to get your air conditioner fixed? Because that really doesn't sound smart. I was like, why do you go to people who don't have medical backgrounds to give you medical advice?
I saw a meme and it said everybody's got a cousin that works at the CDC, but this is their cousin. And it was somebody sleeping on the grounds, right? Like, your cousin that works, like my cousin that works at the CDC is an epidemiologist, but she doesn't even work on COVID, right? So if you ask her, she'll say, I don't work on COVID, right? Like I'm on Ebola. I'm still on Ebola. That's what I'm still on Ebola, right? Like, but everybody act like they know somebody who knows somebody who's got some information.
I think on a lighter note, I like the meme that said, if you drank Hunch Punch in college, you good on the vaccine.
You good, Junior. If you drank alcohol out of a cooler, out of a trash can, you're fine. You're going to be okay. And that's how people act like all these people.
But you know what? What I really...
I'm
sorry to interrupt, Demetria. What I really like about what Dr. Casey's saying is that she's really breaking it down about how she has conversations with individual people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what matters here. That's why Black doctors mm-hmm. matter. That's why programs like this matter. These are conversations between real people about why I made a decision, not just to get it, but to go first. Because let's be clear, maybe I would have needed this eventually for my job, but I didn't have to require it for my job today.
I saw my dad, who's a pastor, who posted that he planned to take the vaccine. And I was asking him about it. Like, why did you feel the need? Because he doesn't do social media. He's like, because I feel like as a pastor, it's important for people to hear from me that I would take the vaccine. So it goes back to what you said, not just talking to your patients, but, you know, just good old fashioned bones, thugs, and harmony.
So, I'm going to tell everybody. We're going to tell everybody. Dr. Scholl, here's the question. Is Pop going to take the vaccine?
My father would push an old lady down the steps to get to that vaccine.
Okay.
My father, for those of you that don't know, is the quintessential cranky Southern Black man that's been in that
family. He hates
everything and everybody, yes.
So he's cantankerous all the time.
All the time. And his demographic is the one least likely to trust anything. And so I said that Pop, you and all your friends is crapping on the vaccine and nobody want to do nothing. He said some things I can't repeat on this podcast and followed up by saying, as soon as they call my name, I'm going to get it.
To me, and you know, this is probably very controversial, I believe all the people who work in restaurants, grocery stores,
get it before. Retail.
You do know that they're next on the list.
They're
next on the list after nursing homes. So it goes healthcare frontline workers, nursing homes, then all those people you just talked about.
It's somebody who has a husband who goes to work every day. And I always tell everybody, we've never been in quarantine, right? He goes out the house every day. So you're only, and I think people keep using that word quarantine, but then they at the bar and they, you're not in quarantine. You're not quarantining if you're getting a pedicure. You're not quarantining if you're going to the museum. You're not quarantining if you meet a friend for drinks outside.
I've learned about quarantine is it's just like religion. Everybody picks and chooses the pieces they want to do. And they're like, I'm the most Catholic person that you know. You go to mass on Christmas Eve and no other time. What are you talking about?
Right.
And you 2-time divorce.
Right.
Dr. Sholas, you mentioned one doctor already. I think for you and Dr. Casey, if you would tell us, you know, some social media accounts or doctors or, mm-hmm. You know, health disparity experts. Mm-hmm. We have a friend that's runs health disparity at MD Anderson. Mm-hmm. People that you think, but that are actually talking on this issue, giving yes. good information, but not just good information, but in a way that mm-hmm. everyone can understand.
Fisher Price.
Yeah, I think that would be where do you send people to get
Uche good Blackstock is phenomenal. She is a fellow Harvard Med alum.
Spell her name.
Uche, U-C-H-E, Blackstock.
Okay.
She's a Black woman in New York City that basically started her own Health Equity Institute. She is a Harvard Medical School alum. She's phenomenal. I had the privilege of meeting her.
And does she have a social media account or website?
Oh, she's a blue check. Oh, she's a blue check.
Okay. Because we're going to put it in the show notes so people can just hit it. Okay.
She's great. The other persons I really, really like is, I like actually Dr. Kizzy.
I do too.
Dr. Kizzy. Absolutely.
She is not a physician, but she's a scientist that can talk through the biochemistry of how this happened and how we got here. And what's the other lady that on it did the rap song? She did the rap overlay to Megan Thee Stallion body, but she did it antibodies. I can't remember.
Oh, I can't think of her name. I saw that. Yeah,
laid it out. She did. If I had her in med school, I'd have gotten the honors in that class. I mean, she broke down immunology to body by Megan Thee Stallion. It was phenomenal. Those are the people that are really making a difference. You know, she moved the needle.
Well, like Dr. Hildreth, infectious disease at Meharry, he's actually on the FDA panel, and he's actually involved in one of the studies. I think it's probably through Johnson & Johnson right now, but he was on the FDA panel that approved the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. So I think he's a resource, and he's at a predominantly Black medical school. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, that we need to listen from leaders who are people of color, who are serving on big boards like that, and, you know, breaking it down. I attended a podcast where he did a 30-minute lecture, which was excellent. It was only doctors of color. And mm-hmm. then he did an hour in questions and answers. And that's almost unheard of because that's a long, long time in the doctor world.
Right.
But he answered everybody's question. It was phenomenal. I just couldn't believe he answered all those questions. But I mean, he really laid it out there.
I started talking to a lady, Dr. Bertha Hidalgo, who's a Mexican-American PhD, MD out of UAB, and she does something called Science Sundays. And every Sunday, she'll jump on Instagram, let people ask questions and answers. And she has then pointed me to other websites like, COVID 101? You know what I mean? Like, and she's always like, this came from the CDC. This came from, you know what I mean? Like, not just this kind of, like, to both of your points, not this willy nilly, you know, my friend.
Blog stuff.
I know somebody who knows somebody who said, or even, I mean, I love the New York Times and all of that, but I've read some of the more Hotep-ish stuff, like, you know, well, I won't say Hotep-ish, but they will publish every negative thing that's come in even like a Forbes or New York Times, and then you'll start reading the article and you'll be like, that's not even our vaccine. That's Australia's vaccine. That's not even our vaccine. Do you know what I mean? But people, especially now, I feel like we have to be careful. And homies are no exception, that people don't read the articles. They just read the headlines. So they see COVID vaccine shut down over such and such. And then I was like, what? But then when I read the article, like I said, it wasn't our vaccine. It was a vaccine in Australia.
But that clickbait, I did find who did that, Megan Thee Stallion. It is Raven. Science Maven.
Yeah.
Raven S-C-I-M-A-V-E-N. She is phenomenal. She's an award-winning scientist that basically bridges the gap between scientists and public. And she put it real down on that remix.
Yeah, I see it. Raven Baxter. Okay, I see her. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
But the other thing about clickbait, everybody's going on and on and on about this quote-unquote new strain in Britain.
Right. Oh, yeah.
People.
We shouldn't be worried about that.
So what all they can say with this new strain is that it may be slightly more contagious, but it doesn't cause more severe disease, and it's still covered by all the vaccines.
Absolutely.
We are probably by second quarter going to have up to 4 different vaccine products on the market.
So let's absolutely think about
that. If you're making one of these products and it's trash, people are going to figure that out pretty quickly and immediately stampede to one of your competitors. So there's every pressure for each of these agencies to do their very best, not just to make a good vaccine, but provide good vaccine to people that are going to get it. So folks that are worried about, well, it might be good if they give it in the White House, but they're going to give me a placebo shot. There is no motivation for any of these companies to do that because it's not a monopoly. They got at least 4. We have 2 already.
You're saying the market has competition. Yeah, the market.
Absolutely.
The third one about to come, right?
The third one.
And that takes me to, so if I'm a patient and I'm just in talking to you, and I'm not frontline and I'm not B-list or anything, I'm just a regular person who works from home, who's blessed enough, and we talk about this a lot on the podcast, who's blessed enough to work from home. When should I expect that I would get the vaccination, given what we know today?
I'd say but somewhere between March and June. That's my expectation. What about you, Dr. Scholes?
I think it's going to be till July.
July?
It's a couple of things. Depending on how successful we are at answering people's questions and making them comfortable, there may be more or less of it available. Depending on how many companies bring vaccines to market and what they need. Dr. Casey made an excellent point earlier. In a rural setting, it took a whole lot of hoop jumping to get that Pfizer vaccine to them because of how it had to be stored. You don't have those same storage requirements for Moderna's vaccine.
Right.
Absolutely. Have those same storage requirements for the vaccine that comes out of Britain. There may not be those same storage requirements for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that's in the works. And if any of these vaccines comes out to be a one-shot rather than two-shot combo, it's a game changer.
Right. So absolutely.
All those things really are going to be, and this isn't just medicine. This is more, I think, be in your realm of like, this is how the market works. Right. If you have all this competition. So what I think is going to end up happening is that they're going to say, if you're like Dr. Scholes and practice in a major metropolitan area with a bunch of tertiary care hospitals, you can get the finicky vaccine that requires a minus 75 freezer. If you live at the end of the dirt road, way past the last house number and street signs on Route 25, you're going to get the vaccine that requires the least amount of packaging and fussiness.
Absolutely.
That makes a lot of sense. But absolutely. In the meantime, everybody needs to keep wearing their mask and be safe, right? Like
even if you get the vaccine.
Right? Yes.
Dr. Fauci said he hopes we never go back to handshakes.
We should still be wearing masks. We still should be hand washing. We still should be social distancing. I mean, we should be doing all of that with vaccines. And not everybody gets that. I mean, I had people tell me, and I have a chemistry degree, that about, they were talking about the viral side and how they can go through the pores of the mask. And I'm looking at them like I did my research. And I'm like, well, how you do research on something that's brand new? Because where you get it from?
You spent 2 hours on Google? What are you talking about?
I'm like, when you can research? I mean, can you let me know? Because I'm manscaping every day, you know? I'm laughing. Like, where are you getting stuff? I'm getting articles, you know, like this. And so it's a trip. They tell you all kind of things. And I'm looking at them like, do you understand that I have a bachelor's degree in chemistry and a doctorate degree in medicine, and I've been doing this 20 years.
Yeah, you know, they try to tell you, you're brainwashed, then Dr. Casey, you're just brainwashed.
So now that you both have had the vaccine, like, did you feel more comfortable at Christmas seeing more family? Like, did you go see family, that, you know, open up your bubble more?
Because honestly, it's not going to be till 3 weeks after the second shot that I feel like I got anything. So, there's no partial credit here. That's not how this works.
So we're
working on partial credit.
We did celebrate with my parents and my sister had gotten tested before we got there. So we knew that her test was negative. My dad has actually had COVID, but we wore masks. We have one picture, and I thought about it. I was like, oh my gosh, I sent out a picture that people saw with my family. No one had a mask. We literally stood up from the table. I said, everybody, let's take a selfie. We took a selfie and we sat back down and put masks and got in our positions again. But we had masks on in the house. My children were in the house with their grandparents with masks on, unless they were in the bedroom that they were assigned to, sleeping. Mm-hmm. But we wore masks. We sat spaced out from the tables, all of that.
So we are so grateful for you guys having this dialogue. I'm gonna just give you guys, as we wrap up, is there anything that you didn't get to share that you want to make sure that the homies know about the vaccine or the disease or just health disparities in general?
Well, I think that the important take-home message is have a conversation. Have a conversation with your primary care provider. Have a conversation about the vaccine and if you need to get the vaccine and if you don't need to get the vaccine. You just need to have the conversation.
I love that.
Dr. Love Charlotte. It. Love it. Facts matter, and alternative facts only serve propaganda purposes. So I encourage each of you all to put yourself at the front of the line for the future rather than just at the front of the line for all the risk and damages. It doesn't make any sense for Black people to be dying on orders of magnitude greater than other groups in this country. It doesn't make any sense for Native American populations to be getting decimated at orders of magnitude greater risk than other populations and then be left out of the solution. Mm-hmm. If you have questions for me, I'm happy to take all of them. I'm at Doc Mo Show, DocMoFho on all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you don't have anybody to ask questions to, ask me. And I can be there for that.
Dr. Casey, where can they find you on social media?
Let's see. They can find me on Facebook. Monique Casey Bolden can find me on Twitter, Dr. Mo Casey. They can find me on Instagram. I think I'm listed as just Monique Bolden or something like that.
Yeah.
My practice is also on Facebook, Grace Family Medicine. Grace Family Practice, I'm sorry, Clinic, is also on Facebook as well.
Great. So we like to finish with a fun question.
So I'll give it to you.
Yep.
Okay. Michael Jackson or Prince?
Girl. Oh, I couldn't decide when somebody else asked me.
You gotta choose one.
Prince.
One.
Prince.
Dr. Scholes.
Dr. Scholes.
It has to be Prince because he's the one I met.
Twice. Oh, right. Just like
everybody, because he used to live in Minneapolis. Everybody in Minneapolis. That's a Prince story.
I was gonna say, are you one of those people that, like, one time we all ended up at Prince's house?
Kinda.
I feel like, and don't tell it out here. I feel like everybody who lives in Minneapolis has a story like that.
Like, remember that night we kicked it with Prince?
Yeah, everybody has that. But like Demetra said, we just could not thank you guys enough. This was so great. Thank you for taking time out, you know, after work on the first day. Well, I think some of us are back. I'm not back, but, you know, people are back at work.
Oh, I work today.
I work today too, but not my hardcore, you know, like I said. But we just appreciate it. This information has been amazing, just great information for the homies. And so thank you. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.